In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. Welcome to the Tech Zone. We on our tech flow, and it's still a global market in case you didn't know. So many guests, we not trying to impress. Just want to pass off the info. You could do the rest. See, there's no escaping tech. It's part of our lives. Keep every individual connected worldwide. But all this innovation is more than entertainment. It's people like you paving a new way every day. So let your imagination run wild with all the things that you dream about. Cause the Tech Zone is on now with Paul Amadeus Lane. Blah. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Tech Zone. I'm Paul Amadeus Lane. How are you? Hope you're doing fine. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got a great show planned for you today. Maybe you've been wanting to know what's going on with the trends when it comes to 5G, AI, mobility, you name it. What else? AR, VR, you know, all the different trends out there when it comes to the consumer tech market out there. Well, I'm going to be joined by a great friend of mine coming up in just a few moments to give us some insight when it comes to this area. You don't want to miss that. We're also going to be talking about some other topics on the show to social media and how we can social media responsible out there. So you don't want to miss all the great stuff going down. So remember, if you always want to connect with me, you can do it. Paul Amadeus Lane. com here on ABC News Radio KMET. You can download the podcast, subscribe to it, and really the best way to do that is to go to the website paulamadeuslane.com. It has all the information you need to do to connect with me. All right, you ready to talk about some trends when it comes to technology? Well, without any further delay, let me bring on my great friend. So happy to have one of my great friends that I've known for over a decade from the Consumer Technology Association. We go way back. Steve Koenig, VP of Research. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Paul, great to be with you back in the Tech Zone. It has been a long time, way overdue, so just delighted to be here.
Hey, my friend, I am delighted too. You know, we're just months away from CES 2020, and I'm starting already to get the itch. You are too, because you're going to be traveling leading up to that, man. And so I know you have a lot on your plate. How do you keep everything together, Steve? I mean, you're always flying and jet setting. How do you do this?
Yeah, well, there's just so much to talk about in consumer tech these days. And I think around the world, what we often hear is that everybody is looking for perspective. Why? Well, because pretty much every company today is a tech company. Consumer technology touches pretty much every commercial and industrial sector. And so this is why we have events around the world, including, of course, you know, CES in Las Vegas, but also CES Asia in Shanghai. We have some European events as well. And again, I think people are just looking for perspective on what does all this technology mean? Where are we headed? What are opportunities? And what are the challenges that we face as a global community?
And Steve, I just want to have a little fun with you before we have our serious discussion about what we're going to talk about. Steve, I remember it was a few years back, and we, members of the media and others, we didn't know what was going on. We were in the trends and market research speech that you and Sean would give at CES, Sean Dubravac, all the time. And we saw the word CTA. We was like, what in the world is this? And that's when you guys announced, you know, the new rebrand. And I was like, and it made a lot of sense, Steve, because you guys were ahead of the times to see that technology is touching every aspect of every business out there. And you guys are on top of it.
Yeah, well, that was several years ago, as you mentioned, when we changed our name from Consumer Electronics Association, CEA, to Consumer Technology Association, CTA. And yeah, the reason is that our membership constituency had really grown beyond the boundaries of just devices and electronics. We had entertainment companies, retailers, chip makers, really the whole value chain in the broader technology industry, including automotive. And that's what's made, I think, my experience in the industry and certainly here at CTA really interesting is that we've witnessed over the past 20 years, even 30 years, this ever-expanding industry that has absorbed over that time frame different industry sectors that previously were really considered separate. Like IT used to be really considered separate from consumer electronics, which was basically radios and TVs and these things. And now automotive is really wholly part of the technology industry. Why? Well, we have all these safety systems, entertainment systems, and so forth, self-driving vehicles, really kind of the next wave in automotive. So yeah, it's been really interesting, and that's why we felt compelled to change our name from electronics really to technology. So we like to say technology is our middle name.
Absolutely. And you know, Steve, I got to find some of our old interviews we did like over a decade ago and just see what we talked about back then and see how everything came to fruition. Now I gotta put my team on that. But hey, my friend, let's chat about something that's really been in the news a lot, and that's 5G. So Steve, what are the trends when it comes to 5G? What should we know about what's happening?
Sure. Well, 5G is the next wireless generation. Listeners are obviously very familiar with 4G LTE, what we've enjoyed. And 5G is really just getting started here in the United States. We've got the early networks from the major carriers starting to stand up in different places around the country. And as that next generation of wireless connectivity, you guessed it, it offers a number of benefits beyond 4G. And when we think about all the benefits that we've enjoyed as consumers with mobile broadband, streaming video, and so forth, with 4G, it's fun to imagine what's going to be possible in a 5G world. Because 5G is going to expand on 4G's benefits, which again is pretty much mobile broadband. So what we're seeing now with 5G are a lot of the early initiatives are focused around enhanced mobile broadband, which means faster mobile connections for all of our YouTube videos and other things and a lot of other services that depend on mobile broadband, social media, and just a host of others. But what's important, and I think a lot of listeners may not completely understand, is that there are a lot of other benefits relative to 5G that are really even more important. And these things are low latency and greater capacity. And it's those two things that are really going to unleash a wave of innovation over the next decade, and which is why 5G is really the first wireless generation that will eventually be led by the enterprise or the business sector, not consumer mobile broadband.
Wow, that's blown my mind, Steve. I had no idea that business will be the driver of this. And you talk about the latency. And we know in parts of the United States, we have rural areas with internet, and you know, ones are not able to get internet, or the internet is so slow, they have to deal with satellite, and that's the latency issue that you can really see with the lag time. So will 5G, when it comes to consumers and our households, especially in rural areas, are we going to see that implementation soon, or is that somewhere down the horizon?
So one thing to consider about 5G, I've talked about the benefits. So faster speed, lower latency, and greater capacity. These are the three things that really define 5G. And again, a lot of these early initiatives are around enhanced mobile broadband or the faster speed. But that's just the beginning. Lower latency and greater capacity will come in the next several years, but will require a significant build out of infrastructure. And what that looks like is antennas of all different shapes and sizes, really small antennas, larger antennas, because 5G is going to operate across basically, think of it as a low, medium, and high bandwidth. So without getting too technical, because I know a lot of people, you know, may be intimidated by that, but what we can expect is that as the 5G networks continue to grow, more and more businesses will take this up to get those benefits of low latency and greater capacity. And so this is where we talk about more factory automation, different sensors, and so forth. And bridging out to those rural communities, 5G is going to touch, it's going to impact, intersect with and impact every commercial and industrial sector, from entertainment to agriculture. So my idea is that, yes, we've had this dynamic of the so-called digital divide, which is essentially what you were describing, Paul. It's tough to get a connection out in these rural communities, certainly a really reliable, fast one. But I think 5G is going to change that as agriculture takes up 5G to further automate and bring sensor connectivity, thinking about drones and other automated systems to help feed the world. When we get 5G out in these areas, that establishes a beachhead for 5G to overlay with those rural communities. So I think that's one way that we get 5G out there, and we basically have congruent connectivity, whether you're in downtown Manhattan or out in the sticks, as we like to say in Texas.
Well said, my friend. And it kind of reminds me of a talk that you did from the market research talk where you do a CES a few years ago. I remember you talking about cutting the cord with VR and how 5G was gonna be a part of that. And it's good to see that we're at that point now where we're starting to see these things take place. Exciting times. Another thing I always enjoyed hearing you in your viewpoint on it at CES, Steve, is AI. Where are we at with the trends when it comes to AI? I know some out there, or maybe a few out there, are kind of afraid of AI. They saw the movie AI, iRobot, and they think Sonny's going to come and say, I didn't kill the man and all that other stuff. But what are some of the trends when it comes to AI that we should be aware of?
Well, really, artificial intelligence is permeating every facet of our commerce and culture. And listeners are probably familiar with Google Assistant and Alexa. I mean, that's probably the most visible part of the AI spectrum. But there are many, many other facets to AI that really intersect, again, with commerce and culture. Machine learning is kind of where things got started with AI. Basically, today, data is the common denominator in the industry and in our daily lives. Data underpins everything that we do. I mean, think about your daily email and so forth, all the way through to your Netflix queue. I mean, streaming video. All this is data everywhere. And that's only going to expand exponentially in the next decade. So we needed a technology that's going to help us make sense of all this. And AI is that answer. And machine learning basically are advanced algorithms that sit on top of mountains worth of data, and they help make sense of it and can push it in different ways. But facial recognition, speech recognition, object detection, all these things are qualities of AI and where we're starting to see applications in the consumer space. So again, it's permeating every facet of our commerce and culture. And we can expect that to continue. And our research at CTA has shown that consumers endorse these benefits for a range of reasons. But convenience is certainly one of them, helping them manage their lives better. And look no further, again, than your Netflix queue with those recommendations that come in. Those are very helpful. I mean, nobody has more time to hunt up a new series on Netflix or Prime Video, what have you. So, again, consumers endorse a lot of these benefits. And it's true that there will be some automation and perhaps some workforce disruption. But those are a normal part of evolving as a culture, as a society. We've been around that block before. with the previous industrial revolution. And that's what really, when you get down to brass tacks, Paul, I think that's what we're talking about when we consider 5G and AI as this fourth industrial revolution characterized by smart technology. And at CTA, we're committed to responsible policy that's going to help ensure that America is a global leader in that fourth industrial revolution of smart technology.
Unleash that innovation. That's what we're talking about. And Steve, one of the things that really warms my heart when it comes to AI is seeing what they're doing when it comes to wheelchairs. I remember last year at CES, I think it was Hubox, with the Intel chip, they had that face recognition wheelchair. And when I saw that, I was like, this is just amazing. Because some of us who have motorized wheelchairs, and I know what I'm about to say, people are going to say, huh? Sometimes your arm gets tired from pushing that stick. I mean, it's just like, you know, you're using that, you know, that same muscle for like 5 or 6 hours and your arm gets tired. Oh, what if somebody is a full quadriplegic or have CP or something and have to operate a wheelchair with their mouth? Just having that facial recognition with that AI just really shows, man, how far we've come in this tech sphere.
Well, definitely. And then also just other benefits with speech recognition and so forth, voice recognition. Really, there's a difference between speech recognition and voice recognition. Obviously, speech is like the AI knows I'm speaking in English and understands that. Voice recognition knows that this is Steve Koenig speaking. So having that voice print technology, if you like, attached to that, so an operator can give specific commands, and then the wheelchair will follow through. In other words, someone standing next to someone seated in a wheelchair and said, you know, move forward 10 feet, yeah, you know, it wouldn't do anything. Only the person sitting in the chair for whom that's for. So there are a lot of benefits, exactly, and all the more to say why, you know, I think we see in our research that across the board, from voice shopping to things like recommendation engines and so forth, consumers endorse the benefits of AI, and it's really going to help us advance as a culture and in the business community, really help us establish more value creation in the next decade.
I totally agree with that. And it kind of reminds me, Steve, a few years back when I sent you an email and I used voice to text. And Steve, remember how cryptic that email was? And I had to either text you or email you back and say, Steve, man, I'm sorry, I'm using voice to text. This is what I was talking about.
Yeah. But disregard, yeah.
It was funny. And then, like, you bring up a very good point about recognizing your voice when it comes to AI. I know with our Google Assistant that we have at the home, I remember one time I asked it something, but my wife asked the same thing, and they wouldn't give my wife the information. So she was like, they don't like me. I said, no, I can keep things away from you, Ray. I can just put it in the Google Hub, and they won't give you the answer because they don't recognize your voice. But we see that in action, and we definitely see the benefits of it, Steve. And one other area we wanted to look at, too, and that is the mobility trends. And there's, if you live in inner cities, you've probably seen these scooters around and everything. So Steve, what's going on with those trends right there?
Yeah, well, what you're talking about in industry speak is known as micro mobility. And that would include the scooters that you mentioned, which have become really popular. And I think we're seeing the scooterization, if you like, of America. Certainly, if you spend a lot of time in major urban areas, you're bound to see those all over the place. It's certainly the case here in the D.C. metro area. But in addition to that, certainly bicycles and then other just first mile to last mile kind of transit solutions. So there's been an increasing need for this. And so, yeah, innovation to provide an answer and a solution. So I think what we see moving forward is today we already have a mosaic of transportation options. Obviously, private vehicles, you know, our own cars, trucks, mass transit in different forms. We can bike to work or to the grocery store or what have you. And now we have these other scooter options. So As we move forward in time, I think that mosaic of transit options will increase in granularity, which is to say that there's going to be more options across different distances, long range distance, medium range distance, short range. And so we're really seeing the focus again with these scooters on the more first mile, last mile type transit needs. And again, our research that we're about to release next month, we just completed it and we're kind of putting the finishing touches on that, you know, shows again, consumers endorse these benefits. Why? Well, because they're helpful. Not because people don't want to walk somewhere or whatnot, but nobody has more time, generally speaking. So if you're trying to get to a business meeting, you get off the train, yes, you could walk the 10 blocks, but a scooter is probably going to help get you there a bit faster and cheaper than hopping in a cab, say. I don't know if we figured out how to operate a scooter in a rainstorm or anything. Yeah. I haven't seen anybody using the umbrella or anything like that. We wouldn't want that. But yeah, so there's a lot. And what's happening because of these scooters and bikes and other micro-mobility solutions is we're seeing our infrastructure start to change. And what that looks like is you've seen roads reconfigured perhaps around the San Bernardino area where there might have been four lanes. Now there are two with two bike lanes on the side, so dedicated lanes. So our roadway infrastructure is starting to shift, and I think that's that portends what will be coming when we have self-driving vehicles in fleets taking to the roads. Maybe they'll have dedicated lanes in some areas, but we're having to reconfigure our roadways to fit more of the 21st century lifestyle that involves a very granular mosaic of transportation options to fit our increasingly itinerant needs.
Yeah. Yes, we have. And to see these in action is really amazing and encouraging. And speaking from experience, I would rather, you know, ride for 10 miles than walk 10 miles to a meeting. So I second that motion. So, you know what, Steve, and one thing that you brought up and my eyes lit up about this research that you guys have done that's going to be released next week. You know, I got to have one of you guys on to talk about that, because I think this is really incredible just to find out, you know, the pulse and the things that you guys have found out with this research. We'd definitely love to talk about that later on, too. And just briefly, where we're at when it comes to autonomous vehicles and that area right there.
Well, we're already seeing the first commercial deployments of self-driving vehicles, and one example is Waymo's operations in Phoenix. And these are limited commercial deployments, and sometimes they, despite it being a self-driving vehicle, which is the term that our research has shown that most people, autonomous is more of an industry term, but you'll hear probably more around self-driving vehicle. A lot of these will also include a human in the driver's seat in case of emergency or other need. But in any case, yeah, this is happening now. And so two of the guide words for 2019 and 2020 that I often use in my trend talks are reality and relevance. And reality speaks to what I just said about self-driving vehicles. These we're not talking about this as a fantastic vision of the future. These things are happening now. They're becoming reality, and that's only going to increase. And relevance speaks to other technology trends that are just gaining traction and relevance in culture and commerce. But in any case, yes, we're seeing, again, more of a mosaic. It's not just self-driving vehicles for passenger transport, but also self-driving semi-trucks. In the state of Texas, where I'm from originally, there's a company called Kodiak Robotics that's operating big rigs, self-driving big rigs, and they have a human in the driver's seat, you know, just to be safe. But they're running these between Dallas and Houston. So long-haul trucking, there's a lot of testing going on. But also in Brooklyn, they're using a very short-range self-driving shuttle. It goes about 1.1 miles right there in the Brooklyn area. And so we're seeing these things happen. And even here in D.C. with Local Motors Ollie, they also have a autonomous transport system, call it like a little self-driving bus that operates here on the waterfront in D.C. So things are starting to happen. This is only going to increase and grow and probably expand to college campuses, other dense urban areas, downtown. And I think a lot of that, it's kind of the bookends. Really, we have the very short range micro-mobility kind of solutions that I described, and then maybe also these longer haul trucking solutions that'll help automate that. So exciting things to come with self-driving vehicles.
Absolutely. You know, and I remember me and one of your former colleagues, Jeff Joseph, we used to talk about this a lot whenever I would interview him about self-driving vehicles and everything, and to see kind of where we're at, you know, right now in the stream of time is really encouraging. I love it. You know, I love all this innovation, love this technology. I'm embracing it. I'm not afraid of it, because great folks like you guys at the CTA are making sure that all things are handled correctly. So thank you for the confidence that you give us out there, Steve. We really appreciate that. Let's chat about something else too, AR and VR. So what are some of the trends that we are seeing of AR and VR? Because when it first came out, it seemed like it just, but now it's like, you know, it's you know what I mean, Steve.
Yeah, well, let's break it down. So AR, VR, I think in short, what we can expect is that our lives as we head into the next decade will be augmented in some way. And there are a variety of ways that'll happen. But really the dynamic here in 2019, and I would say into 2020, is this: use cases. We're just finding more and more use cases for AR and VR. And let's unpack VR for the moment, because you're right. Like you said, I mean, there was a lot of excitement several years ago when VR first kind of arrived on the scene with the first Oculus headset. And obviously that was centered squarely in entertainment. And then we kind of hit that trough, as they say, of disillusionment. You know, we're like, well, it's maybe it's a little expensive. And is there anything else other than fun and games? And it took us a while to figure that out, but yes, today, wow, manifold applications of VR, from engineering to medicine. Our research in this area has shown training and development is really big. I mean, think about if you had to give a speech, you could use VR to virtually practice your speech in front of that audience of 1,000 people. Yeah. So that could, you know, that's a practical application I think a lot of people would resonate with a lot of people. But more technical things as well, clearly. Different virtual meetings, having an avatar. And Facebook has done some of this in more of a social context. In AR, we're seeing a lot of hardware innovation. VR too, but let's stick with AR. A lot of different forms and form factors for AR glasses. But I would point to folks' smartphone as probably the first place where they can really sink their teeth into AR and kind of come to grips with this and experience it. And I think once they do, they'll find it extremely helpful, because what AR does is really layer digital bits over our physical reality. And so sometimes, let's say if you're looking for a restaurant in a downtown area, you really can't see around a corner, can you? Now, we can follow navigation, you know, looking down at our phone, but with AR, we can hold that up in front of our face. We can see a virtual path and maybe what is around that corner. Or if we're on a sightseeing trip, different points of interest could be pointed out instead of having to stare down at a threefold map in a national park setting, as an example. So again, I think it all adds up to life in the next decade is going to be augmented in some way. And we think that there will be people that want that all the time. There will be certainly the other end of the spectrum. There are people that want maybe nothing to do with that. It's just too much information. But probably for most of us, and I think you and I included, it's going to be helpful on a number of different occasions, and that we'll choose whichever solution, whether it's through our smartphone or putting on a pair of AR glasses, We're going to be open to that because the convenience, the benefits are obvious.
You know, it kind of reminds me of what happened with tablets. Remember when they first came out, they kind of, and then they came back with a vengeance, and we're starting to see that with AR and VR. And Steve, last question, because I know we're running a tight schedule here with you. Let's talk about the trends if we can, if we have enough time to, and that's about media and entertainment. What are we seeing with those type of trends?
Well, sure. Well, we talked about AR and VR, and so there's a lot there. If you include sports in that, so look for more innovation there. But media and entertainment, I kind of think we've instead scratched the word star and insert streaming wars.
Yes.
Is kind of what we've seen. You know, YouTube TV, Hulu, Netflix, Prime Video, but get ready for the media empire strikes back, because we're starting to see all these TV streaming services come online. Of course, Apple's announcement very recently with Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus streaming service, about $7-$8 a month, starting in November as well, along with Apple's service. We just heard recently, this is kind of late breaking news, NBC Universal's streaming service debuting sometime in the springtime, I believe, next year, will be called Peacock, kind of a nod to their logo, the Peacock logo. And other than that, HBO Max. So all these different TV streaming services. Why is this happening? Well, media companies have figured out, finally, that I think streaming is really the preferred modality for most consumers. Why? Well, because you don't have to be seated on your couch in front of the TV. You can pretty much stream it on your phone, your tablet, your PC, wherever you are in the world, and enjoy the content that you really care about and keep up with that series or just stay entertained, again, wherever you are. So media companies are starting to stand up their own services, and I say the media empire strikes back is because they're literally clawing back a lot of their content. So I think what this means to consumers heading into next year is that whilst you might enjoy a lot of content on Netflix and, say, Prime Video, some of that content may not be there anymore and may be only exclusively available through, say, Peacock from NBC Universal or maybe HBO Max. So that's, I think, what we can expect. And that means that we'll probably have more subscriptions to deal with if we care about watching a lot of different series and a lot of different content. So that's kind of the update for media and entertainment trends.
So it's kind of like what we've seen with Disney Plus when they took most of the Marvel stuff off of Netflix.
That's right.
And everything. And Steve, are we going to see the Empire say, "I am your father" to these other streaming services?
Yeah, you and I love to riff on Star Wars as much as possible. But yeah, so I don't know about that, but I definitely think that, yeah, we're going to be managing more subscriptions, but I think that's okay. There's a lot of competition. I think the other thing we can expect to reduce churn, a lot of these media companies are going to want to offer longer term deals, very congruent with what we see today in pay TV, where you can lock in, say, a lower rate if you commit to 2 years. So I think there'll be opportunities for savings for consumers, but we probably will have a bit more to manage on the subscription front in the future.
Well, Steve, my friend, thank you so much. We were able to cover a lot of topics, and thank you so much for your insight. Looking forward to chatting with you soon. And please, when that research comes out, please let us know about the mobility trends. Please let us know about that so we can chat about it. But until next time, my friend, we can always theorize about Man in the High Castle and all the other good stuff. But thank you so much for joining me, and look forward to talking to you soon, my friend. And if one's like to find out more information about the great things that's happening at the Consumer Technology Association, what's the best way they can do that?
Yeah, well, I think the URL right behind me here, if I can get my head out of the way, there we go, cta.tech. That's basically your one-stop shop for a lot of perspective on what we've talked about today. Also get details on CES 2020 that you mentioned right at the beginning, Paul. I mean, it's going to be here before we know it. So, yeah, And any questions, just please ask us.
Sounds good, my friend. Great catching up with you, Steve.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoyed it immensely. Yeah, we'll speak soon.
Definitely. That was my pal and VP of research for the Consumer Technology Association, Steve Koenig. Steve and I have been knowing each other for over a decade, and I always enjoy talking to him. And one of these days, I'll tell you some stories about me and Steve, some of the segments we used to talk about when we have a little bit more time. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about how we can social media responsibly. So you don't want to miss that coming up after these messages.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
ABC News Radio KeyMet. I'm Paul Amadeus Lane. You are in the Tech Zone. If you were blown away by that first segment, or if you missed that first segment, I had Steve Koenig on from the Consumer Technology Association talking about some of the trends that we're seeing with certain technologies, 5G, AI, AR, VR, media and entertainment, and his thoughts were amazing. So definitely check that out. When it comes to technology, it has afforded us the opportunity to do a lot of things. We can connect with people virtually, and that's where social media came in. We were able to connect with our relatives, friends that we've lost contact with, and some of y'all even parlayed that to get married to people, you know? I mean, to each his own. You know, you do you, boo-boo. That's all I have to say. But when it comes to social media, there's a dark side of it where it kind of brings out just the bad person within us sometimes, and we do things and say things that we wouldn't do to a person's face. So I wanted to bring on one of my great friends and show host here at ABC News Radio to talk about, as a life coach, what can she give us to make us pause before we do something that we may regret, and how can we deal with things that we may not we might not agree with online. So without any further delay, let's bring our very special guest on. How are you, Coach Lynn?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. I am so proud of the work that you do. You are a trendsetter, and you always have been. You're the person who pulled me off internet radio, and I'll love you forever for that, though I'm still on it as well.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I love you, too. It's been an amazing ride, you know, for you and your career, and both of us just in our careers. And one thing I really like about you and listening to your shows here at the station is that you hit a lot of angles and different subjects. What makes you continue to make your show robust, fresh, and just current?
I really want to know what people are talking about. And I really want to try to take the political pundit piece out, because a lot of these issues could easily cross over to politics. However, there's a time and a place for that. And a lot of these issues, when you look at it as a human being and you look at other human beings and how they feel, sometimes if you're not being political, you'll find that you would answer the question a little differently. And so I phrase my question to the audience in a way that says, how can we enhance your life? How can we make it easier for you, better for you, make you more fulfilled, while talking about issues that might push the envelope a little bit?
And one thing I really like about you is that the way that you have a common sense approach to a lot of things. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on today to talk about something that has, you know, I think when it first came out, its inception was really good, social media. But then there's a dark side to social media where people get bullied, people get into discussions to the point that sometimes they lose their jobs because they may spew off some racist rant or something, and they lose a circle of friends. What is the best way, mentor us, Coach Lynn, on how to deal with social media? And if we are on social media, how can we not take the bait?
That's a very good question, and it comes across all the time. I actually have this going on my show page a lot, where there are people with a lot of different opinions. And it's inevitable that people are not going to completely agree with each other all of the time. However, one thing that I think is lacking in general in the country is respect. And so if we don't get back to the idea of respecting each other and saying we do not have to agree, however, we're going to do it in a respectful way and have this dialogue. And I think once you set those parameters and you yourself don't go beyond that, it forces other people to do the same.
And you know what's interesting is, like, we'll take some of the controversies that have taken place over the last couple of years. We know with the NFL, we know with immigration, a lot of things out there. And without getting into the politics of everything and just the reaction that we see on social media, it's some people that I've known for many years, went to school with, worked with, and when those issues came up, just the vitriol that they had, the hatred that they had, I mean, it took me aback. You know, I had to stop following them, and it was just, you know, it was shock. But what did Dr. Maya Angelou say? She said, when someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. So I wasn't going to give them a second time to, you know, to fool me. But here's the thing. I still love them. I still care about them. If they needed me, I would be there for them. But for my own self, I cannot see hatred. I cannot deal with that kind of drama.
I refuse. You see, I think, again, it comes down to the same issue, and we deal with this on the show. If we get back to being humanitarians for each other, and that does not mean that we have to just give everything away, you know, just come to my house, take all of my stuff, you know, I'll have nothing left. It doesn't mean that we have to do that, but it means that if you're looking through that eye, you know, if that's your perspective in the world, how many more things will we get done? We already know what happens when you have fear and hatred. Nothing gets done. As a matter of fact, people get shot and killed because of that. However, if you put a humanitarian span back on it, ask yourself one question. What if it was me? How would I want someone to do? You know, what would I want them to see me as? How would I accept their help? Would they help? What if it was me? What if it was my daughter? What if it was my mother? That tells you whether or not, it's something in coaching called integration of values. That tells you if you're really, truly living according to your values. Now, here's the most important part about that, Paul. So many people, one in every five people in America is depressed or anxious or unhappy or unfulfilled. You know why? It's not because they don't have that big car that they want. It's not because they don't have a good job or enough money. It's not because they're not living in that fantastic neighborhood and don't have all the capitalistic gains that they want. It's because they're living so far away from their core and their values. And when those things are completely fragmented, it's impossible for you to be happy. It's impossible for you to live a fulfilled life, no matter what you have. Right. Ask many of the stars today.
You hit it right on the head, you know. And here's the thing, like, sometimes when I interview, like, some of the stars and I'm around them, you can tell with some that they have a lot on their mind. And it's like some of the young actors, when they first started out, they have this glow and this happiness about them. And then as they get older, they realize that this acting is not a business, but a business. And they have to work hard, and it's a lot of struggle, and there's a lot of shady people in this industry too. And when we look into values, you can have the best values in the world, been raised by amazing parents, and this is what something that can erode values. And let me know if you agree with it or not. Who you decide to hang around with. If you start hanging around people who have the hatred, who loves drama, who, you know, when I was growing up, it was always that one cat who always wanted to get in a fight with somebody at the club. Oh, let's go fight them. They talking mess. Like, no, brother, I ain't going over there. It was always that one person. And now we see that same type of attitude on social media and all these digital platforms. And the values are so, so important.
I think all you can really do is be true to your own values. You can't control anyone else's values unless you're a kid. But if there are other people and they're on your social media platforms, you have to do what you say you're going to do. I have had to kick people off of my social media platforms, and I have quite a few, and I will kick them off because the bottom line is I want you to talk about different things. It's okay. That discourse is wonderful. That's great. We can learn from each other by respecting what each other has to say, even if we don't like what you're saying, even if you think it's absolutely, you know, ridiculous and horrendous. But when you talk about social media, there's a time and place for everything. I had a person on LinkedIn actually complaining and saying, someone's coming on LinkedIn starting fights about politics. LinkedIn is a professional, you know, networking platform that has nothing to do with that at all. So it's just a matter of you being true to what you want and what you say you're going to do. I love when different people have different discourses and they talk about things and they completely disagree. One of my favorite interviews over 20 years was with a gentleman who was a part of the KKK.
Wow.
He was one of my favorites because he talked and talked and talked and said, Oh, Coach Lynn, those people, they just get me sick. They're so ignorant, they're dumb, they're stupid. And I said, well, for why? Why do you think that is? Well, because they're, you know, saying what the racial epithet was. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. How long have you listened to my show? I've listened to you for years. I love you so much. You just always hit on love and humanity. And, you know, I don't love other people, but I could at least say that, you know, those other ones are blah, blah, blah. And I waited to the end of the interview and I said, have you ever seen me? And he said, no. I said, well, I'm going to stay on with you right now. I want you to go look me up. Are you on your computer? He looked me up and he goes, oh. And I said, yeah, I'm one of those people. But you see, when your heart is open, your heart doesn't feel that. It's when all that negativity that you've been around, those people who say negative things, you turn on the television, you know, and oh my God, within the span of an hour, you are fried. Your brain is fried by negativity and negative energy, and they're fighting with these people, and it's ridiculous. So all you can do with your social media is say, this is the bottom line. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm trying to portray. Mine is that I'm trying to uplift people and give them a discourse for a happier life, a healthier life, a great lifestyle, good friends, laughter, love, and all those things that so many of us think are just, you know, not attainable.
No, that's well said. And, you know, when you were telling that story about the person from the KKK who you interviewed, that kind of brought me back to, you know, before social media and everything and the internet, I would call, you know, get a job and, you know, go to a job interview. And Paul Lane, you know, right? Paul Lane, I mean, not quote unquote the ethnic name. And then, you know, I joke around a lot on the show, and I talk Ebonics and broken English, but I can speak the King's English. And when I'm in a professional setting, yes. And when I'm in professional settings, you know, I speak the King's English. And a lot of people would be shocked when I walked through the door. It was before my accident and everything. I walked through the door and I'm saying, hi, I'm Paul Lane. They're like, what? You're Paul? Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so it's like, number one, how does black sound? You know, it's like, so it's one of those things where, you know, all these different stereotypes, and we see now that on social media, how it's been even amplified. Now, I mean, it's people that I've known for years getting involved in calling people out of their names, different races.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if the roles were reversed? How would you feel if the minorities all ganged up and said, okay, let's go after this race. Let's go after that race. You know, they'd have their lip poked out and say, oh, we're being treated so unfair.
You know what? I think those people are living in the Middle Ages, because we live in a global world. You can go anywhere in the world. I'm just getting back from Eastern Europe, where people are walking around calling each other, yeah, bro, in Serbian. You know, people in the Ukraine are rapping. Have you ever seen Ukraine rap music?
Yeah.
It is ruthless. So anyone who's lost in the dark, come out of the closet, man. Turn on the light. We live in a global society, and people speak the King's English and Ebonic English and all kinds of made-up English all over the world. So I would suggest that you find some kind of way. You can call me up. I'll coach you if you want, you know, and make you understand that the world is changing, and all your hatred will have nowhere to go. Because guess what's happening, folks? The millennials are like, they're just waiting for the old folks to die off, because they don't want to have anything to do with hatred or fear or any of that. And I'm on their side. You know what? We know what the world looks like when hatred runs amok. But do we know what the world looks like when love runs amok? How about we try that for a change?
Absolutely. You almost had me singing, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Yep. Remember that song?
Really? It really is.
And another one, my third one, right? All that, now that we found love, what are we going to do? And then Heavy D redid it and everything. Yeah. So. No, but you hit it right on the head. And I'm so happy that you came on the show, you know, because social media was birthed because of technology. And like technology touches every facet of life, but we have to make sure that we use it responsibly. And we have to show respect and love. And if you have a problem with showing love, just don't press send. Leave it alone. Go work out. Do something. And learn about other people's, you know, likes and dislikes. Have a conversation with them without getting all worked up and telling people you're going to do this and do that and lose your job over it. That's the crazy thing. You know, when you see these people got these great jobs, they go on social media and they feel emboldened and they get fired. And I wonder how they feel now.
Yeah. You know, not only that, but, you know, from a psychological perspective as a coach, if a person has that hard of a time being around an environment with love, I suggest that you look inside. Because if you can't give love, it means you can't accept love. And if you can't do either, it means you don't love yourself. So when you love yourself, you're able to show love and receive love. It's not a big deal. It's not a foreign concept. It's when you're hiding something way down deep inside that says, maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe if they knew this about me, they'd find out I'm really not lovable. Maybe that terrible person way back in the day who said I was awful or terrible or ugly or whatever, well, maybe they were right. And so I'm angry about that. And so I'm going to find a way to make myself better than those people or that person. Well, that's not love. And if you loved yourself, you know, it's kind of contagious, Paul. You know, you want to have fun. You want to be around other people who are positive. Cancer kills. Love rebirths.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And so happy to have my station mate, my sister on talking about some things. And Coach Lynn, for ones out there who may not already be following you and checking out your show here on ABC News Radio KMET, how can they continue to keep up with you? And what if they want to get some of this great coaching? I mean, you were with us for about a little over 15 minutes, gave us some great coaching. We feel good about ourselves. What if people want to continue that? How can they get in contact with you?
The best way is to instant message me on either Lynn Show on Facebook or the Coach Lynn Show on Facebook or Coach Lynn on Facebook. Instant message me. We keep opening up pages. You can also email me at CoachLynnJ@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it. I'm not able to coach everyone, but we'll talk about trying to get you help that you might need, whether it's in your business or in your life. And Paul, thank you so much. I love your spirit. I love what you do. You're one of the good soldiers out there. Keep fighting that fight. You do it in technology. I do it in the heart. But either way, we'll win them over.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And when can ones check out your show? Most important thing.
Well, you can check me out on KMET every Thursday at 10 a.m. And if you miss that, you can download the podcast. which a lot of people do, subscribe at iTunes, subscribe at iHeartRadio, mm-hmm. at the Coach Lynn Show podcast, or what's the other one?
Spotify, Spreaker, Google, you know, all the everywhere you can find the podcast. Check her out. Her shows are amazing and awesome. And always great talking to you, sis. And talk to you soon.
Talk to you. Prosper.
Prosper. That was my great friend, Coach Lynn Johnson. You know her from the Coach Lynn Show here on ABC News Radio. K-Met, great insight as a life coach and as a mentor, just helping us to have food for thought when it comes to social media and how we should really react when we see things we don't necessarily agree with. Yeah. Take a pause, guys. It ain't that serious. That's all I'm saying. Your words will live in infamy and live on. And you may not care about the consequences of those words when you put it out there, but 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you know, when you're trying to, you know, advance in your career, and somebody say, hey, I remember you said this about this race. Oh, you said that about that race. I mean, yeah. All right, guys. Well, next time, look forward to talking to you on the Tech Zone on Paul Amadeus Lane. Remember, connect with me, paulamadeuslane.com. Take care, folks. Love y'all.
In this world of technology, things are ever-changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.